In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
When those who sat at table with Jesus heard these things, he said to him, "Blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God." Jesus said to him, "A certain man gave a great supper and invited many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, 'Come, for all things are now ready.' But they all with one accord began to make excuses. So that servant came and reported these things to the master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind.' And the servant said, 'Master, it is done as you commanded, and still there is room.' Then the master said to the servant, 'Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled.'" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We're hearing much in our time about racism. Racism is not our systemic problem. Sin is our systemic problem. And at the heart of sin is a faith that is meritorious, that is works righteous. In other words, I like you because you're like me and you please me and do the things that I want or think should be done. I don't like you because you're different than I am and you do not do the things that I think should be done. At the heart of our problem as human beings since the fall is a systemic works righteousness. You saw it there at Cain and Abel in the garden. After they expelled from Eden, Cain and Abel give their offering to the Lord. Cain despises his brother. Why? Because he believes that his work, his offering, should make him acceptable to God, and therefore he despises his brother whose offering was accepted when his was not. This systemic works righteous sin continued throughout the Old Testament. Between Jew and Gentile, a careful reading of the Old Testament indicates that God chose Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to be his special people, not to the exclusion of everyone else, but precisely so that he might include everyone who had strayed from the Lord at the Tower of Babel. The Old Testament, Church of Israel, God's choice of the Jews, was not a choice based on merit. And yet, how many times in the Gospels do we see the Pharisees who claim to be experts in the law despise those who are not as expert in the law as they were? Next week, we will hear about how they murmur against Jesus. Why? Because he receives sinners and eats with them. That is not right. What is the problem? They held on to their works, their accomplishments, their achievements, the things that they believed were the most important, and they let go of the grace of God. And the grace of God and the gift of salvation comes not at all by human merit, not by skin color, not by cultural background, but comes entirely by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. They murmured against Jesus because he received sinners and ate with them. In Africa, if you were to accompany me there sometime, you would think that the entire continent has got to be one, because they all have really, really, really dark skin. But even in Africa, there are tribes pit against tribes in every country. Why? The problem is not race. The problem is power. The problem is a works righteousness a desire for control at the expense of others. St. Paul in the epistle for today is speaking about the great gift that in the gospel that the apostles were proclaiming, Jew and Gentile, the two, are brought together as one. And the common denominator in Ephesians chapter 2 is grace. Earlier, verses ahead of our epistle, it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Letting go of the idol of works makes it possible for us to accept one another rightly as God's forgiven and redeemed people. And so St. Paul says, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were afar off," and he's talking about the Gentiles, "have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, the peace of both Jew and Gentile, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity." For the Jews, their perennial problem was that they held on to the works of the law. This is who we are, and it is why we are superior to all others. It is why they despised the Gentiles, and particularly the Samaritans, who were half-breed Jew and Gentile, who didn't worship in the pure way. Notice what it produced in them. It was a false theology. It's not what the Word of God taught, but it produced in them all matter of bitterness and hatred toward those who were not like them. In contrast to this, the Gentiles always felt, when they were encountering those Jews of the works righteous ilk, as if they could never measure up. And therefore, there was a lot of resentment and hatred also among the Gentiles for the Jews. But the problem wasn't race. The problem was a failure to understand the reality of sin, and that salvation comes as a gift of God's grace in the Lord Jesus and in what he has done in his flesh to make not only of the two, Jew and Gentile, but of all people one through the blood of his cross. Faith in one's self and one's accomplishments will never give peace, and it always breeds contempt. Faith in the grace of God, a faith that is nurtured by a mercy that we don't deserve, always moves outside of itself in compassion and mercy toward one another. To clasp the hands of those who are entirely different from us, but who are made one with us by the blood of Jesus. The parable of the Great Supper is an invitation of the gospel to receive the Lord Jesus and his forgiveness as a free gift of God's grace and to feast upon it in our lives, in every aspect of our lives, at all times, as the one thing needful. The parable of the Great Supper represents forgiveness, eternal life, and salvation in Jesus. The invitation represents the call of the gospel: "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The excuses made by those, "I have bought a piece of ground, I have 5 yoke of oxen, I've just got married," all of these excuses are the ways in which the works righteous faith of the sinful heart pushes back against the invitation of the gospel. The poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind represent all sinners for whom Christ died. And this great supper of salvation to which the gospel calls us begins here in this life at the altar of the Lord when we kneel together, red and yellow, black and white, precious in his sight. For Jesus loves the little children of the world and has made of the many one in Christ. It's why the church historically has knelt together, drunk from the common cup together of every nation and culture and skin color and language group. We partake of the Great Supper by hearing Christ's word, confessing our sins to God and before one another, and kneeling to receive the cup of salvation. I need Christ. So do you. That's what the parable of the Great Supper is all about. And when the master is angry, you know what he's angry about? Nothing matters more to God than to believe in and embrace his Son and the gift of salvation in Jesus. He doesn't care about human works in the slightest. He cares about what Jesus has done, his only Son for you and for the whole world. What delights the Father is that you rejoice to receive his Son and live in his forgiveness and mercy. And the only thing that makes God angry is when you turn away from Jesus and the free gift of salvation in him. I need Christ. He forgives my sin. He teaches me how to love my wife, my children, my grandchildren, my congregation. He rescues me from the self-centeredness of my flesh. He teaches me how all of the temporal gifts of this life he gives to be used in loving service to my neighbor, even as Jesus, though he was rich, became poor for your sakes, that we, through his poverty, might become rich in the grace of God. He teaches me how to forgive, how to pray, how to love my enemies, and how to bear the burdens of others. And that's all centered in the gospel of God's free grace. It's the only thing that can give peace and contentment and a sense of self-worth. He gives me a word to speak to the congregation that you might receive him too. We all need him because he is our Savior and there is none other. He died on the cross and shed his blood to give us the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. And in the blood of his cross, he makes of the many one. And in the gospel, he never tires of extending the invitation to the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind sinners, come to me, and I will give you rest. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.
Amen.